Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. We'll preview that game, but now we're chatting with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Always appreciate our weekly chats. We were breaking down the Titans-Bucks game yesterday, and I said, look, I'm having a really hard time evaluating Will Levis's performance behind that offensive line. What was your evaluation of Will Levis's performance?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. And the front for Tampa Bay is actually pretty good, and they're definitely a team that is not easy to run the ball against because of, you know, obviously some of the size they have inside and their linebackers. And so when that happens, you know, I think Derrick Henry was like, I think he averaged like 2.2 yards per carry, something like that. It was low. Mm-hmm. And so, look, it's harder to play quarterback in that environment. And you know, when he's thrown the ball nearly 40 times, I think that, you know, expectations that it's going to be perfect every time out for him, you know, probably unrealistic. So, like, my evaluation was, look, that was tougher sledding than it's been the first couple weeks, you know, in terms of getting an opportunity as a starter, which I think should be expected. But I also don't think that necessarily reason to be like, ah, wait, maybe we jumped the gun here on – being excited about how he's played. Like, I didn't think that it was, didn't think it was obviously great, but I also didn't think it was terrible by Will Levis at all.
And that's kind of our point yesterday, was if we were going to come up with a blame pie for that loss, I don't know if I can really give Will Levis any sliver of that pie. Could look at the offensive line.
Blame pie. I feel like that had to be D. Mace's idea. Like,
well, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. Is that what happened in the Mason house growing up? Was that a tradition? The blame pie alongside the pumpkin pie and everything.
Sweet potato pie, not pumpkin pie, man.
I just can picture Caroline and Willie coming in and being like, you know, listen, we're all right. We're not going to overreact to that. And then D. Mace being like, you know what we need? We need a blame pie segment.
Hey, listen, everybody is to blame just about when you have a situation like this. So I just like to be a realist, man. Like, hey, listen, everybody isn't always a part of the winning and everybody isn't always a part of the losing. But there is a pie amongst the team in regards to who should be given more of the responsibilities of a loss or a win.
And when you're 3-6, it's you get a slice.
Exactly.
You get a slice.
I'm like, over it here. Everybody's getting
a slice. It's a big pie.
But what we are looking at the blame pie and keeping in mind this offensive line that's been struggling so much and now they're dealing with injury, how much can you put on Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator?
Well, look, I think that he has kind of been put in a very unique situation where, I mean, however we want to say it, they're now playing their third-string quarterback. So, in fairness to Tim Kelly, whether it's, you know, injuries up front and then the fact that you're now playing your third-string quarterback, I do think you have to have, you know, some realistic expectations. And while, you know, you say, hey, third-string quarterback, like, it's not, you know, it's not the same as, you know, Tommy DeVito playing at the Giants, you know, you know, there's an adjustment period. So I personally would say this. I think that there's more encouraging than discouraging on Will Levis. And I think that's reason to be optimistic. I think that the job that Tim Kelly has done, I would not be critical of it. I feel like probably with what they have and how they have to adjust, I would say that he's probably, generally speaking, done a good job. You know, when you look at the game last weekend, I mean, just the big difference is, like, it's a pretty even game. It's the, you know, the Titans settling for field goals, just, you know, not being able to get scoring plays. And I think that some of that you know, boils down to, you know, the talent that you have by comparison to the team that you play, right? And so, because when you look at just the kind of the flow of the game, number of plays, first downs, third down conversions, time of possession, all those things, like, it's actually a pretty even game. The difference ends up being like, all right, where you find, did somebody make a play on a ball thrown into the end zone? It kind of can feel like that. And I think that they were probably two pretty evenly matched football teams on Sunday.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, Vrabel, and the question was asked again about this offensive line. And I understand why he answered the question the way he did, or he was sort of dismissive, you know, in answering that question, because you could take either one or two approaches. You could take the approach of a Deion Sanders and say, yeah, we need five new offensive linemen, and we're going to get five new offensive linemen. But, Prime, you still got some games left. So what are you telling those guys up front? They got a block for your son. Now, you maybe should have held that in. You're telling the truth, and we want the truth, but you got to know when and how to tell the truth in this situation. And that's why I think Mike, the way he answers these questions in regards to the offensive lineman, he understands we still got half a season left. And if I go in on these offensive linemen, I have nowhere else to go. It's not like I'm bringing in, you know, some all pros that I can go get off the streets. I can't do that. So y'all may be right, but I got to answer these questions the way I feel is best for my unit and my team.
Yeah, and look, you might uncover something with, you know, somebody the second half of the season. And, look, I think it's fair to say, we just look at the offensive line. It's not exactly, you know, a group that if you were to look around the league, like the rest of the league would be clamoring for. And so that's, unfortunately, like, that's just the situation. There have been some good players that have either gotten older or, you know, left in free agency, or, you know, it's just that has not worked out to have this group be, you know, a strength of the team. But I would say this, sometimes what happens in these environments is you look up and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, maybe two of these guys we can't build on in the future, but there are other guys that maybe we can. And so I do think you've got to be delicate with it. I do think you have to, you know, try to develop, because, you know, the idea, like, to your point on, like, the Deion Sanders thing, look, they may be able to at Colorado to bring in nine new guys and have it be great. In pro football, you can't do, like, a clean sweep that way. Just, you have guys under contract, and you're going to need to keep them. And in terms of who you're going to be able to get your, you know, get to sign with you, that's going to be limited as well. So, yeah, look, at this point of the season, I don't care what position it is, you can't punt on the idea that you're developing players that are currently on your roster.
Now, what do you think of the defense, Tim? Because this has been a group, up until the Indianapolis game, this has been a group that you could rely on, at least the front seven. But the front seven has gotten to a point where you can't rely on them to keep the score down long enough to then allow you to score points and win games. This defensive line has been bad against the run. They got a little bit better last week, but not that much better. They're not putting as much pressure on a quarterback, which allows these quarterbacks a lot of time to find holes in that zone or in that man-to-man coverage. But this defense, who we thought was going to be the bright spot, at least the defensive line, it has basically regressed in a sense. And we're trying to figure out, you know, is it Shane Bowen, or is it the lack of having a Jim Schwartz there? When your defense was good, he was a part of it, not necessarily a coach on the field, but he was sort of in a advisor role.
Jim Schwartz is an excellent coach, and there's no question that he has made a very strong impact on any defense that he's been a part of, with whatever role that he's had. I don't care if it's you know, his time in Philadelphia, like whether the advisory role with the Titans, and clearly what he's doing in Cleveland right now, because that defense is incredible. And so I think you've got to give him certainly his due. I think part of the challenge is as a defense, and I would just say this too, and guys are still, I feel like the defense is playing hard. And I thought that, you know, some of Jeffrey Simmons' comments afterwards about just the frustration of not winning. And I also think for a defense of, like, not playing with a lead, it's hard. I think it's hard. And so I think that can just start to wear on you. I feel like more than anything, there's just a general discouragement. And look, let's also be real. Like, we're only a few weeks away from a pretty significant change, you know, a trade, which created a change. And so everything from how elaborate you can be with, you know, things on the back end because of, you know, new faces in the defense and terminology and signals and all of that, that, look, I think that matters. I think the idea that you were going to trade a veteran player who knew the defense extremely well for younger players and think that, you know, that that would help you immediately, I just don't think that was a realistic situation for how the defense would play.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL football. Tim, I remember in Pop Warner when we went through the walkthrough and the coaches would yell out, "All right, field goal team." And then the 11 guys were, I was like, why are we doing this? You know, this is so boring. Yeah. Can we just get to some field goal kicking or, you know, some throwing the ball? Let's do some drills, you know. But you see why they do that, right? So I cannot imagine being the guy that was supposed to be off the field last night. What was it, like seven games? A record amount of games came down to the absolute last kick.
Mm-hmm.
So to lose a game like that, I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
No, and listen,
How's that happen?
I feel like I've had, well, listen, sometimes, well, look, and sometimes when you do these substitutions, it's, you know, you do it in the, you know, on Saturday and you're kind of mock game situation, and it's like, all right, you know, first group's out and this and that, but then all of a sudden, like, because of how a game goes on, you maybe you have a substitution, and so because of an injury and a substitution and you've got to move guys around, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, who's coming out? Who's coming in? Who's actually the third guy in because the backup, he's now a starter. And so, like, look, that happens. And it's why, you know, I think sometimes we take this game that's a very simple game. I mean, it really is from the standpoint of, look, everything that's – I mean, pretty much everything that's being done on a football field has been done before, right? Like, it's still numbers. There's only certain combinations of things. There's – you know, five eligibles and all that stuff. But at the same time, you need to be super detail-oriented because of situations like substitutions and personnel groupings and time on the clock and why it's got to happen quickly and the awareness of all of that. So I think it's just – it's like, look, that to me is a good reminder of when we say, like, game of inches. Like, it's a matter of – like things that small, it's a matter of, you know, how the ball bounces or, you know, a spot on a play. And it's why the NFL product, honestly, is as good as any in terms of how many just good, closely contested games that we get each and every week.
I thought it was interesting, too, in the psychological part of it. Because the guy, the ironic thing is the guy misses the kick. You know, it's not like they blew the whistle before. He missed the kick legit, right? For a moment, the Bills fans are celebrating. They think it's over.
Yeah.
The fact that the Broncos decided to do a kneel down and then run the team onto the field, I wonder psychologically how that affects everybody going, okay, we have plenty of time, but hurry up, hurry up. Yeah. Make sure we get it. Let's get set. You know, I have to believe that was in the kicker's mind a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, Sean Payton's comments about, like, you know, it was not chaotic. Look, I think that you're right. You know, typically speaking, if it's not a rush, right? Like, you know, you've got
a true fire drill.
The plans, yeah. Like, it's no right. So they call it. It's a mayday situation when you know, the play clock's not in play, but like the game clock is really, really in play, right? And so typically they say, you know, 18 seconds, you can be in a mayday scenario. Well, look,
and mayday was before seconds. The half, before halftime. That was
correct,
a mayday
right.
situation.
And so, like,
yeah.
Listen, there's not a ton of, we're talking about, you know, on a 25-second play clock versus in a mayday situation with 18 seconds, we're talking about 7 seconds difference. Now, listen, 7 seconds, depending on, you know, the level of your heartbeat racing, can feel like a long time or a short time, right? Like, it just can. And so, yeah, I think in those environments, for sure. Like, I sometimes wonder, Willie, like, I think about this from a standpoint of, like, icing a kicker and not icing a kicker. Like, when if you've got timeouts in the bag and a kicker is expecting you to ice it, like, are you better off not taking it? Because he's you know what?
I like that move.
I'm going to take it now, right? You know, or no.
You have your hands like you're going to do it right next to the ref, and then you don't do it. Yeah.
And or are you better off like, no, I'm going to make this guy think about it forever. Like, I'm going to – and, you know, because you don't know what's going through that guy's mind, you know, or kind of how he's feeling, like, I think it's hard sometimes to figure out, like which would you rather do? So, yeah, I don't think there's a clear, you know, hey, we know for sure. But, you know, I tend to think that when things are rushed and in, you know, somewhat of a hurry, then, you know, in that environment, I don't think that is advantage kicking team.
There were so many games that came down to something small.
Well, how about like the Cleveland-Baltimore game? Like,
unbelievable.
Are you guys like, oh, my gosh, they tied the game. And it's like, no, they missed the extra point. They didn't tie. Right? Like, right. I mean, and then you thought.
They were way behind the whole game. You never thought they could win the game. You never thought.
No. I mean, look, I had one. I had a double overtime, you know, Duke-North Carolina game this past weekend that was just. That was crazy. I mean, it had all kinds of stuff going in. You thought, well, there's no way these guys, like, oh, my gosh, Duke just won the game on a 4th-and-7 play. And then you're like, nope, here they go. They're going to, you know, Carolina's going to drive the length of the field and tie this thing up. And so, like, yeah, I do feel like that happens more in the NFL than in college football. But honestly, it's why the game is so great.
No doubt. And so now there's consequences with the Bills. Like, you have Josh Allen again. Can't figure out how to hold on to the ball, not
my
throw interceptions.
Goodness.
And so now it costs Ken Dorsey his job, and the Bills all of a sudden are teetering. They're just trying to make the playoffs here. That sounds crazy.
Here's what I really think about, and I felt like Buffalo tried to run the football a little bit more last night. I just feel like they're so dependent on Josh Allen. And so even in games where they run it a little bit more, I feel like he's been conditioned to try to be Superman. And I just don't think that – I don't think that's healthy for a quarterback to feel that way. Now, listen, he's so talented. When he's on, it's good, and you're loving it and living with it and all that. But when it's bad, it's just – it's bad. It's really bad. And so I think that's a challenge. And then the other aspect of this is, you know, when Sean, at the beginning of Sean McDermott's, you know, time in Buffalo, they didn't have much of an offense and they were really good defensively. And that is basically, I feel like, been the case up until this year. I just don't know how good they are defensively. I don't think they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I don't think they do a great job of stopping the run. It's just not that disruptive. And look, I think that shows up when you play a team like Denver that has been very mediocre offensively, who looked really good. And look, there are real consequences, because Ken Dorsey, I think, was a guy whose name was being circulated as maybe being a head coach soon. And now all of a sudden, he's been let go.
Next head coach at Texas A&M. I'm kidding. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat next week.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Appreciate it. All right, coming up, let's get into some of your phones. We'll react to what Tim Hasselbeck had to say, his evaluation of this offense, Will Levis and Tim Kelly's role in it. And, of course, we'll get back into your thoughts on the question of the day, and that is how much trust do you have in Mike Vrabel to transition the Titans to where they are now and to getting back into a contending team. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.